our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us new every morning, mercy as daily bread. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us with your hand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we pray. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. And the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. I will trust in you for everything. I will follow you wherever you may lead. And though my heart may fail, you are all I need. I will trust in you for everything. You alone have the words of life for me. Shine your light and my blinded eyes can see the truth of you that sets me free. Open my mouth and my lips will sing your praise. Show the path, give me strength to walk your ways, to live for you all my days. I will trust in you for everything. I will follow you wherever you may. Though my heart may fail, you are all I need.
continue with all my fountains.
This dry and desert land, I tell myself keep walking on. Here's something up ahead, water falling like a song. An everlasting stream, your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow. My soul, a well that never will run dry. I've rambled on my own, never believing I would find an everlasting stream. Your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow. Open the heavens, God. Strong like a river, your love is running through all my fountains are in you.
And now let's ask for the peace of God to rain down on us and our souls.
Come on and rain. Rain down on us, Lord. Come on and rain down on us, rain down on us, Lord. Come on and rain down on us, rain down on us, Lord. Come on and rain down on us, rain down on us, Lord. Strong like a river, your love is running through all my fountains are in you. All my fountains are in you. All my fountains are in you.
To pass the peace of Christ with each other. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Doerr, and we are in week two of our February sermon series, The Heart of Prayer. So I love that we sang a little bit of kind of a rendition of the Lord's Prayer there with our opening song, and we'll hear another rendition during the offering later on in worship. You see, our ushers are already passing around the attendance pads, so please register your attendance with us. That's a great way for us to know who's here, and we can best care for the congregation. And if you're a guest, that's a great way for us to get your information so we can follow up with you and find out what you need to know about how we do things here at Asbury. I want to lift up a few announcements. The first is that Pastor Tom is out of town today. If you were with us in November or December, Pastor Tom was having back issues, and I was really blessed by people that stepped up to help out with worship. Ron Dixon will be coming up in a few minutes for Joys and Concerns and scripture reading, and so it's really helpful when people help out with worship. And so later on this year, if you're not aware, I'll be taking maternity leave, and Pastor Tom will be needing help. So if you've been observing people helping out with worship, helping the pastors with prayer time and with scripture reading, and you think, I could do that, or I could maybe do that, I'd like to try it out, I invite you to fill out one of the serve cards in front of you in the pew. This is not like a you have to do it, but if you want to be part of a conversation, you want me to reach out to you and ask, you know, if you'd be willing and what I could do to help you out. If you'd be interested in helping, there's times in the next few months where either I or Pastor Tom will be gone, and so there's plenty of opportunities to help be a liturgist on Sunday morning. So you just fill one of these out, put it in the offering plate, and it'll make its way to me, and I can follow up with you. Next slide is we'll be having a spiritual gifts class in March. We did one in the fall, and we've done other spiritual gifts classes before. Anybody ever taken our spiritual gifts class here at Asbury? I know some have. There's a couple hands. It's a free class. It's a class to help you learn about your spiritual gifts, your person style, and your ministry passion. It'll be a four-week class, all four Wednesdays of March from 6 to 7 p.m. Pat Tank teaches that class, so you can call in or email into the office for more information or contact Pat. And I think it's here in your center of your bulletin. Oh, maybe it isn't. It's definitely in the Good News newsletter, though. And so if you want to be a part of that and learn about your spiritual gifts and how you can best serve God, that's a great way to get started. Final announcement that I wanted to lift up is that our Asbury and Mission prayer group has been meeting the last few weeks, and just want to make sure that everyone's aware that the whole church is invited. If you want to be praying for how we can best be poised for mission, how we can move stuff around and get excited for mission at Asbury, whether you are a prayer warrior or a person that says, you know, I think I'd like to kind of practice prayer a little bit, somebody that's passionate about giving back, somebody that's been involved with missions before or would like to in the future, or just has something to say and something to pray about. So please meet with us Monday at 1:30, and we have four more weeks of that. All right, so I'll invite Ron to come up and do our joys and concerns. He's got the wireless mic. And I do want to lift up the first concern is that early yesterday morning, a church member, Mary Rohr, passed away. She passed away early yesterday morning. She's been very faithful, and first service, she's been sitting in the back in a wheelchair, and she's been coming the last couple months. She's been on hospice, and sometimes they don't let you come to church on hospice, so I don't know what she did, but she's been a faithful church member and a faithful Sunday school attendee, and so we'll be having, we will not be having a service. The family's planning on a service at a later date in her hometown of Winterset, so we want to be praying for Mary's family in her passing.
Good morning.
Farther away.
Thank you for the opportunity to continue to participate in my growth. Oddly enough, a couple weeks ago, we all picked out a little star from the baskets, and mine was refinement. So I'm refining. So I have a second prayer, actually, for my wife, Karen. She's actually out caring for 8 horses this morning in this bad weather. So I'll pray that she'll be safe, and we'll make sure she gets home safe today, but appreciate the dedication she has to her our horses. In saying that, I'd just like to ask if anyone else has joys or concerns they'd like to lift up this morning.
Don Mitchum, and for the past year, I've been providing some transportation to a handicapped woman here in Bettendorf, shopping and some other things, and her needs are increasing, and we'd like to have some more drivers to help her out, and so if anybody has that on their heart that they could maybe be a driver, a helper, talk to me, and I'll tell you what it's about, see if that might work.
Good morning. My name is Brenda. I have two of our five grandchildren with us this morning. I know they had asked for prayers, I believe it was last week, for I'm Grandma and the other grandma is Nana, who had fallen and broken three ribs and wasn't doing very well. But they want to share a joy and a concern, the concern being that she had to have surgery. She's still in ICU at this time, but the joy is the surgery went well. She's recovering well. It just takes time. I try to let them know that it just takes time. So prayers for Nana.
If we don't have any other joys or concerns, how about we take a couple minutes and quietly individually lift up those to our Lord who always hears us. As we finish our personal joys and concerns, let us lift them up to our Lord in public as a congregation. Lord, this morning we mourn the loss of our member Mary, who was with us for a very long time. We give thanks that we were allowed to share an intersection of our life with hers, and we're happy to know that she will be with you, where she will be healthy, she will be happy, and continue to be loved. We lift up prayers for family members who have had a tough week through falls and surgeries. We give thanks for the carers that provided the care for our family members, as well as our family members that also provide care. We ask that the healing process, Lord, that you weave yourself into it, and that us as family members and carers and sometimes the ones that are hurt are healing. Remember sometimes that our mind can heal at a different pace than our body, our heart, and our spirit. We ask that we have drivers that will help us bring more to you, to hear your word, to be cared for. We lift up praise, Lord, that we have a place where we can come together as your sons and daughters and as your children in a safe place where we can pray and praise you. We ask that as we leave this place a little later on, that we'll remember that you're with us and that when we're tired, when we're frustrated, when we're hurt, even when we're ecstatic to the point where we think we're going to be overcome by energy and excitement, rather than turning internally or externally, that we can always look up to you, Lord, and share good news, challenging news with you. Lord, please hear our prayer, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. Transitioning to our first reading this morning comes to us from John 6:14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountains and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. But it worked. Philip answered, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in this place, so they sat down. There was about 5,000 people in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." These are the words of the Lord for God's people.
At the table of the Lord, I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light. At the table of the Lord, there is peace at the table of the Lord, and I won't worry anymore at his table. There is healing at the table of the Lord. There is healing at the table of the Lord. Oh, and I won't suffer anymore at his table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light.
Let's take an opportunity now to pray this prayer together. Lord, we have come to worship today filled with questions and desires. We hunger for truth and righteousness. We hunger for food and shelter. We hunger for peace and prosperity. Help us to be fed our fill by the sharing of your word and by the community of this church. We who hunger ask to be filled by your Holy Spirit. Amen.
I know he has a place for me. Oh, what joy will fill my heart with the saints around the mercy seat of God. Come, all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light. He is able, he will restore at the table of the Lord, at the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. He says, come just as you are to his table.
Our second scripture for this reading is also from John chapter 6. So it's a continuation of the story that Ron began with the feeding of the 5,000. And we're going to kind of skip over the part where Jesus walks on water, and we're cutting to the next day in the crowd. Verses 25 through 26. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. And then skipping down to verses 30 to 35. So the crowd said to him, what sign are you going to give us then, so we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Today we're in week 2 of our February sermon series, The Heart of Prayer. It's about how we can grow in our prayer life, we can grow in our relationship with God, we can just get better or in better habits about prayer. And we're doing that by getting back to the basics, looking at the very heart of prayer and the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in a section of scripture that we call the Lord's Prayer. Last week we talked about recognizing that God is God and we are not, thank goodness. And out of that humility, we ask God's will to be done through us wherever we find ourselves. Today we come to the line, give us this day our daily bread. I think when most of us think about prayer, we think about the kind of prayer that Jesus was lifting up here in this section of the Lord's Prayer. Prayers that we call supplication or prayer requests. Specific askings of God to intervene in the world, to bless us, to change the world, to make what we want to happen. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray like Jesus. And whether we think about it consciously or not, I think we all have many prayer requests that we lift up to God throughout the day. They may feel more like wishes or longings or desires, but we all find ourselves wanting more, wanting specific things, wanting the world to be a certain way. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' day, bread was seen in a very different way than we do in modern Western culture. For us, bread is an extra, something that is delicious, but isn't really needed. How many of us have cut out bread and carbs when we go on a diet? That's the first thing we cut. Bread is a luxury. A bread roll is a side dish. But in Jesus' day, bread was essential to the process of eating. When I was in seminary, one of my friends and classmates prepared a meal for a few of us after worship one Sunday. He's from Pakistan. So he made, I believe it was a stew, and there was a flatbread that went with it, and he literally broke the bread, and he gave it to us, and he told us that this is how people in his culture ate their food. They break the bread, and they ate their food with the bread. Give us this day our daily bread, an essential part of the process of eating. Today we might say, give us this day our meat and potatoes. Bread shows up in a lot of important places in Scripture. It reminds us of God's blessings, God's workings in the world, and God providing for people when they saw no other way. The story that we're looking at today is the famous feeding of the 5,000. Next month, our sermon series for Lent is Entering the Passion of Jesus. And so if you pick up a copy of the book, and there's copies actually available in either Narthex right now, Dr. Amy Jo Levine talks a lot in the book about how the four different Gospels in the New Testament really tell four different stories about Jesus' life and his ministry. And they don't all get the details the same. They don't always tell the same stories, which is wonderful. But I believe that when the same story does show up in all four Gospels, we should perk up our ears. We should pay attention. And this indicates a very important story that must have been vital to how the early Christians understood Jesus and his ministry. And so the feeding of the 5,000 is one of those stories. It is a miracle that shows up in all four Gospels. That leads people to conclude that this is one of the miracles that is very likely to have happened. It was being passed around so much. And I think the way that John's gospel tells this story tells us a few things about prayer requests to God. The first is that God sees us and knows what we want and what we need. Scripture reads, when Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? Jesus noticed. Jesus wasn't too in his head, too unaware, too divine to see the very human needs of those who had gathered around him for teaching and healing. Don't you think that God recognizes our needs in the same way? Don't you think that even before our stomach starts rumbling or our bank account starts to drain, that God notices what we need and knows how to bless us? God is not too far removed to see what we need. God recognizes our human needs and wishes, and God's ears perk up. God pays attention. God is aware of what we ask for and what we wish for. Jesus' question to his disciples seems sort of like a quiz or a hypothetical question. Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? But Andrew does speak up in a timid way that betrays a doubt in his own line of thinking. He says, there is a child here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Do you hear the uncertainty? Do you hear that Andrew doesn't have faith that his observations will lead to much? He doesn't have faith that such a small offering will make a difference in the world. But he's wrong. And Jesus shows us another truth about prayer requests. Sometimes we become the answers to another's prayers. Sometimes we are part of the process of answering someone else's prayers. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, God will at times send someone with a basket of bread to our door. When others pray, give us this day our daily bread, God will at times send us with a basket of bread to someone else's door. The answer to this need begins with our willingness to be the answer to someone else's prayer. Are you aware of that? Are you listening to the prayers of others? Are you ready to be a part of God's response to the needs of others? Are we as a church hearing the prayers of the hungry, the tired, the overworked, the disenfranchised, the justice seekers, the homeless, the underemployed, the in debt up to their eyeballs? Those who are asking God for blessings just for today. Are we prepared to answer those prayers as small and meager as our own baskets of bread may appear to be? Jesus does work a miracle over the small offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish. If you look in the top left corner of our big stained glass window here, you'll see a depiction of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It was important enough to end up in our stained glass windows. Everybody on this side, you'll just have to look at it after. You really can't see it over there. But it's in the top left corner. It's a miracle. It's something that we wanted to depict here at Asbury. A reminder that God works miracles and provides. In the other Gospels, Jesus delegates the task of handing out the bread and the fish to the gathered crowd of 5,000 people. But in John's Gospel, it suggests that Jesus does it himself. Jesus physically hands the bread to the people in need of food and sustenance. Doesn't this show us that God provides? That God answers our prayers, God hears us and responds. Elsewhere in Scripture, in Matthew 7, Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Who among you would give your child a stone if they asked for bread? Or give them a snake when they ask for fish? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God answers our prayers. God blesses us when we call on God's name. But of course, this gets us into a tricky place when we're talking about prayer requests and asking God to give us this day our daily bread. Because what about when God doesn't answer our prayers? What about when God doesn't behave like Santa Claus or a cosmic vending machine? What about when our prayers appear to go unanswered? I would imagine each of us here has a story about a prayer request that was clearly answered yes by God. And that each of us has a prayer request that was clearly answered no by God. Times when we have felt like our prayers weren't even heard by God. Maybe we were speaking to an empty room. Psalm 13 is a prayer that has been cried out over the centuries since it was written. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wit's agony filling my heart? Daily? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? How many of you have also prayed a prayer like that? How many of you have felt abandoned by God? Every time that I hear an account of another mass shooting, that's always my first prayer. How long, O Lord, how long? Our prayers are not always answered yes by God. At times, our prayers don't get the answers that we want. At times, those asking God for daily bread go to sleep with empty stomachs. And that was the reality for the majority of those people who were sitting with Jesus on the mountainside in Matthew's gospel when he taught his followers how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Perhaps as many as 70% of those who were listening so long ago were barely scraping out a living, everything they earned going from hand to mouth. How could they wish for more than what God would bless them with that day? How could they imagine saving money and storing up treasures on earth? No wonder the crowd that had been fed by Jesus in John's gospel came back to him the next day and they asked for another sign. They had rarely gotten their fill to eat before. What sign are you going to give us then so we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They had a taste of a miracle, of God answering their prayers, and they wanted more. God had fed their ancestors before in the wilderness. God had provided for all of their needs each and every day. For this crowd, God had provided their daily bread yesterday. What about today? Jesus pretty harshly rebukes them, and I think as a far removed reader of Scripture, it's easy for us to do the same. Jesus reminds them that they are coming to him not for their relationship, not because of salvation, but to fill their stomachs. They're seeking him as a cosmic vending machine. And that's not the point of prayer. We don't ask God for things because we think that we are owed them. Prayer requests are not the only part of prayer. There is more to a life of prayer than a list of demands. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew and in Luke. And here in John, Jesus identifies himself not as Moses, the one who worked with God to bring about manna, bread from heaven. Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. He draws a distinction that Jesus isn't the miracle worker. Jesus is the miracle. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If the most important prayer request is give us this day our daily bread, if what Jesus wanted us to ask God for was our daily bread, then can we not draw the conclusion that the most important thing to ask God for was that which was necessary, that which God wishes to give us, that which is already in God's heart, that which is God, the divine, Jesus himself. Give me this day the bread of life. Give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Are we asking daily for Jesus? Are we asking daily to know Jesus better, to know his heart better, to have the things that Jesus would have so we can better love and serve him? Are we asking for the living bread, that which will make us never hungry again? Or are we asking for the bread that gets old and stale and rots when we hoard it for ourselves? Is our prayer to give us Jesus, only Jesus? God wants to hear our prayer requests. God wants to know what is on our hearts so we can fully open our hearts and our lives to God, to know God better. God wants us to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then Scripture says all these things will be given unto you. Not because we're more deserving of having our prayers answered, not because we're more holy or more righteous, but because when we first seek God's kingdom and God's will, when we open our hearts to God in prayer, then the things that we pray for are to partner with God in ministry. The prayers of our hearts are the same as the prayers of God's heart, and God wants to help those answer those prayers that bring about God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what we need. Give us this day the opportunity to answer someone else's prayer. Give us this day the chance to see you work miracles. Give us this day the living bread. Give us Jesus. And what more could we ask God for than Jesus? Amen. Will you pray with me? Holy and awesome God, you have blessed us. You have given each of us blessings beyond understanding, beyond measure, and we know that all that we have is a gift from you. Help us to be a blessing to others, to be listening to the prayers and the needs and the wants and desires of others so that we may help bring them to life, be part of your kingdom building here on earth. And help us when we wake up in the morning and we lay down to sleep, help us to ask for more of you. Our prayers we ask, Lord, is that you give us Jesus, the living bread, that which will fill us and sustain us and empower us for our whole lives. Amen. At this time, in thanksgiving to God for all that God has given to us, we return now and offer unto God gifts of thanksgiving. And we're going to hear a rendition of the Lord's Prayer from Don. Please be in prayer during this time as well.
Give us this day our daily bread. forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
O Lord, lead us not into temptation, but save us from evil. And the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever shall be yours. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Receive a blessing. God wants to know what's on our hearts. God wants us to pour out our prayer requests, big and small, mundane and ridiculous. But I hope that as you pour out your heart before God this week, you'll also ask God to give you Jesus. I think the way that we stand when we pray makes a huge difference. And so as you ask for God for things this week and share the desires of your heart, I invite you to practice perhaps cupping your hands in front of you like this. You could do it right now if you'd like. And asking God to pour down blessings on you and that supplication. I think maybe it'll make a difference in how you pray to God and how you are open to what God will give to you. I pray you have a blessed week as you go out to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Peace be with you.
You are not alone if you are lonely when you feel afraid. You're not the only, we are all the same. In need of mercy to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen.
Have an awesome, glorious, and fantastic week, everyone. We'll see you next week.